This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In a few minutes, the chillingly candid memo about workplace safety on airliners. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's news that consumer prices last month fell by the most since the beginning of the Great Recession. Now, some of that was gasoline, with fuel prices still tumbling in January, but prices were rising some when volatile stuff like gas is factored out. On Thursdays, Diane Swonk favors us with her expertise. She is chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Actually, this CPI reading today is an interesting window into the economy at large.
It is. What we're seeing is some trade-offs in inflation, everything from unusually harsh winter weather pushed down things like going out to restaurants. The East Coast and the Midwest were blanketed in snow and cold weather in the month, more than usual in the month of January, and now I can testify, more than usual in the month of February as well. And that pushed down some prices of going out to eat. But we also saw on the flip side of it, a surge in one component, personal care, like getting your hair cut and things like that. The largest increase in that component since the inception of the data in 1999.
Now, I'm still stuck on this personal care prices going up last month. What? Because it was awful outside? People went in to get their toenails done?
One has to wonder, don't they? I don't know how many people went to go get their toenails done in the colder parts of the country, but once they shifted down to the warmer parts of the country, my guess is that services in those parts of the country got a real boost. So that's part of it. The other part is those areas haven't seen a lot of inflation in recent years, and it could be a bit of a catch-up after being really suppressed. That said, the overall inflation numbers, they still were stagnant and well below the Fed's target. This is still an economy, from most people's perspective, that's running too cool. One of the things Janet Yellen made clear in her testimony is that although they'd like to get liftoff this year, they have to be confident inflation will reaccelerate in the future. That means you need to see at least a bottoming of inflation before you do liftoff in rates. And right now, we're still in a decelerating pattern.
The chief economist at Mesirow Financial, Diane Swonk, thank you.
Thank you.
There is an unusual fiscal tradition in India. Today, the government there has just released a budget specifically for its railroads, a relic of the country's colonial past when the rail network was the country's key industrial asset. India's railways are both overrun with passengers and burdened by some routes that make little economic sense. The proposal now is to spend $137 billion over 5 years. That's like the U.S. spending $1.2 trillion on trains, if you adjust for sizes of the economy. The BBC's Shilpa Kanon is following this from Delhi.
India hopes to modernize its overloaded railway network by increasing investment in it to $137 billion over the next 5 years. The railway minister today increased freight rates, which traditionally subsidize the passenger fares in the country. The state-run network runs more than 12,000 trains, carrying some 23 million people, or the size of the population of Australia, every day. But decades of neglect and low investment have meant that accidents are common and trains, platforms and toilets are often filthy. So the government now hopes to improve the network by pumping in more money. To achieve this, India already permits 100% foreign direct investment in areas like construction, operation and maintenance of high-speed trains and dedicated freight tracks. But it's yet to see wide interest from foreign investors.
The BBC's Shilpa Kanon there.
You're not political. You're not political.
Income inequality, income inequality, income inequality in the United States.
Why are you talking about it?
I've also talked about long-run budget problems, budget problems, large important economic trends, problems affecting the country. Trade or productivity, Budget problem, income inequality in the United States.
Time of the gentleman has expired.
Thank you.
United Airlines is warning its pilots to buckle down on safety. The airline sent what itself described as a, quote, brutally honest letter to its pilots. The letter's from last month, but the Wall Street Journal first broke the story last night. It's a memo that seems to be saying to United pilots, let's focus, people. And Marketplace's Nova Safo has been looking into the thing. Nova, are there specific incidents that prompted this memo?
Well, we don't know all the details because the airline didn't offer a lot of details in its letter, but we do know there were four incidents. In one case, a plane apparently landed with less fuel than is minimally required. In another, a pilot had to execute a so-called pull-up maneuver involving the ground proximity warning system. And that system alerts pilots if they're going to crash onto the ground or into a mountain. And the key to the warning letter here is that the airline is telling its pilots that these were preventable incidents had the pilots followed the airline's safety procedures. And a number of airline industry watchers are saying that this was an unusually strongly worded letter.
And what's causing these problems?
Well, United's letter alluded to some shifts in its pilots, older pilots retiring, others moving to planes they haven't flown before. And the airline is also hiring a lot of new pilots. I spoke this morning with Seth Kaplan. He's an analyst at Airline Weekly. And he said there's also a cultural shift going on because of the merger between United and Continental. And that was back in 2010.
They're only now beginning to fly together. So, in most cases, you still have United pilots flying with United pilots and Continental pilots flying with Continental pilots.
Yeah, and Kaplan says that as they are now merging, one of the key things the safety letter was alerting to was the need for these pilots to work together better.
Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you. Now, a few minutes ago, the guy in the next cubicle shouted, "How could television sink this low?" Given the rich history of reality television, you might be thinking, what planet is this guy from? Well, there's news on the Associated Press Planner that tomorrow on the WE TV cable network, there's a show where couples are put into a sound and camera-proof box where they, how do I say it, where they convene the marital congress. And then they come out and share the play-by-play with some kind of therapist. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.